This podcast is for entertainment purposes only and does not substitute for professional medical advice. Please seek a medical professional or healthcare provider if you're seeking any medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Thanks, everyone.
I love this. It's so cute.
She in.
When is the last time I saw you wear some colorful colors?
I know. It's been a bit. It's because it's February. At least one this is going to come out. So I'm like, color.
Color.
Very vibrant color. There we are.
There we go.
Anyway, microplastics.
Welcome.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, we definitely, guys, give us ideas on how you think we should start our episodes. We are on episode 84 and we haven't figured that out.
I know. I think we're thinking of recording a intro, kind of introducing ourselves, that we just stick to every beginning video, or we just make an effort to introduce ourselves.
Yeah,
every single video.
I think we should just do the effort so it sounds more organic.
Yeah,
maybe. Yeah, so
all right, so my name is Yvette Gonzalez.
Doctor. She's Dr. a doctor Yvette here Gonzalez. In this duo.
Yeah. Dr. Yvette Gonzalez.
And I'm Jules.
Okay, no, you can't. I cannot introduce myself as Dr. Yvette Gonzalez and you're like, I'm Julie.
You're Dr. Evie.
Okay, yeah, I'm Dr. Evie.
Jules.
You know what? I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do. I'm not feeling this organic. I think we're going to have to record something and then literally just... Or not. I don't know. Okay, let's just go to microplastics. You guys let us know what you want us to do.
It's help just us easier out. If someone... We clearly need the help. I've listened to a bunch of podcasts and most of them, like, either they just go, you know, or they are like, yeah, very, like,
okay, welcome. Yeah, it's like, welcome to our show, Funny Medicine. And then I think we should, like, kind of create something, like, where we talk about everything, you know,
what do you
all
mean?
Things medicine.
Not even. That'll be too long for every
But
time.
We should, like, say a blurb, right?
Hi, this is Evie. Hi, this is Jules, and this is Funny Medicine.
Okay, perfect. You see, she's so much more simple, and I'm like overcomplicating things all the time. For sure.
It's only because, like, I listen to a shit ton of podcasts. That's the only reason why.
Yeah, so I'm taking, I listen to podcasts too, but why? I just, it's me. I always overcomplicate things.
You probably just hadn't thought of it. Now on, you're going to, like, listen to podcasts, and you're going to pay attention to it, and you'll see.
All right, we're going to start us and let us know how this sounds. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to our show. This is Funny Medicine. I'm Evie.
Jules. And welcome.
And today we're going to be talking about
microplastics.
Microplastics. Finally.
Yeah.
I've been wanting to do this show
this is your idea,
for
yeah.
so long.
Yep. I know.
This is going to be such a good show. I can feel it.
It is. It's going to be a really good episode. There's a lot. Okay. So I tried to condense it because there's so much new research, new news, new everything coming out of microplastics. Yeah. Even from just last year.
I just realized that we both have, like, the same nails.
I know. Okay. It's so cute for the first time.
I know, for the first time. we always have, like, stark differences.
Drastic differences.
Yeah.
And for the first time, it's, like, the same. Anyway. Yeah. So let's talk about this. It's a huge, huge thing. I know you guys have probably heard so many different things. I condensed it. We're going to condense this and make it, like, simpler bite-sized for you.
Yeah. Remember, this is supposed to be more of, like, just a really chill talk.
Yeah. It's a conversation about
microplastics.
Yeah. That's what we're going to have.
Yeah. That's
our goal. So, you know, what are they?
All right. So microplastics are really tiny plastic particles, less than 5 millimeters in size. Mm-hmm. They really originate from larger plastics, but it's kind of like a debris of that larger plastic. And it's basically debris that's breaking down or intentionally manufactured for specific uses, such as cosmetics, industrial grinding materials, medical applications. Despite the microscope... It's because I have microplastics in my brain.
Okay. We're going to get to that.
Yeah. So despite their microscopic size, these particles are causing massive concerns in environmental and medical research.
Big time.
All right. So before we get into the history, which Jules always does the history of things, I'm just going to give, like, a little blurb just to kind of categorize what the microplastics are.
That we're going to be talking about.
We're going to be talking about in the show. So we have the primary microplastics. So that is manufactured to be microscopic, such as microbeads in personal care products and industrial applications. Then we have secondary microplastics, which results from the breakdown of things that we usually think about. So larger plastic items like bottles, bags, and fishing nets. And then this breakdown is due to environmental factors like sunlight and wave action.
Yep.
All right, so a little bit about the history.
I want to introduce like more like thingies. If that makes sense, it doesn't actually. Anyway, so history of how, you know, just history of plastic, right? So let's start with how is plastic even freaking made? Okay.
Jules did a lot of research.
I did.
Plastic, by the way.
I did for like about 2 years or a year and a half at minimum on microplastics, how it actually like was degrading. And that was back in 2013, 2014. So it was just like pretty much in the beginning of people even like wondering what the hell is going on. And that's when people were noticing like how much freaking plastic there is in the ocean.
Yeah.
And they're like, maybe we should be worried about this. That was in the beginning of all of that. So anyway, so plastic is made by chemically altering raw materials derived primarily from fossil fuels.
Hello, doggies. Hi, I don't want to get allergies.
No, ow. Close the door. There we go. Anyway. Yeah, they just like ran in. Anyway, and these fossil fuels, what are they? They're petroleum or even natural gas or a combination of both, which is usually how that happens. What is plastic made from? Further into that, plastics are made from a variety of base materials, like I had mentioned, mostly petroleum and natural gas base. But here are the main components of that. So it's petrochemical based plastics. They're derived from petroleum or natural gas, as I had mentioned, or bioplastics, which is like the new kind of, I guess, technology, you could say, new product that's coming out there. And these are derived from renewable resources like corn, starch, sugarcane, or vegetable oils. So they're more biodegradable because the other ones that are like from natural gas and petroleum based, those are the ones that we're talking about that they're pretty much like impossible to break down once they're made. So the first uses of plastics, it was all the way back in 1862 and it was called Parkesine. And it was used as a substitute for expensive natural materials like ivory, tortoise shell, and horns. Then there was in 1907, Bakelite, used in electrical insulators, radios, and other household items like that due to its heat resistant and non-conductive properties, right? So we're talking about like the beginning of when electricity was being made. And, you know, you need to be careful not to make a electrical fire. Yeah. And that's where they came up with that. The term microplastics was first coined in 2004 by marine biologist Richard Thompson, who discovered these particles accumulating in marine environments. However, the origins of microplastic pollution date back to the mid-20th century when the mass production of plastics was starting. By the 1970s, researchers were already finding small plastic fragments in ocean samples, but it took decades for the scale of the problem to actually be like widely recognized and be a concern. So since Thompson's discovery, studies have documented microplastics in nearly every corner of the earth, from the deepest ocean trenches to like the peaks of the mountains you would never expect them to, you know, to be found.
As somewhere that's so natural
and remote,
having plastic in it,
it's just insane.
Yeah,
this is how insane it is. So the deepest part of the ocean is the Mariana Trench, and specifically inside that deepest part of the ocean, there's the deepest part of that deepest part of the ocean, and it's called the Challenger Deep. And that's approximately 36,000 feet deep. And for those of you that go in meters, that's 11,000 meters.
Yeah.
Below the sea level. Researchers discovered plastic debris there.
Yeah.
Including a plastic bag.
Stop. Oh my God.
36,000 feet below the sea level, there was a plastic bag.
I want to know where that was from. Was that from Target?
I know, right? Like, what the hell?
Yeah, exactly.
God, can you imagine?
You have your little robot. And yeah. Pretty much the deepest part of the sea that you could ever get to.
Yeah.
And you want a Target bag.
It may not have been Target.
If I were that person, like, you know, driving that little robot, I'd be like, is that a fucking Target bag? Shut the Shut the hell up.
We don't know if it was Target. Target, this is specifically. No. It could have been Walmart saying, or like, anybody or whatever.
It could have been anyone. Anyway. Public.
I know, exactly. It could have been anyone.
Dollar store. Oh,
hopefully it was faded away by that time.
Yeah.
Because if not, that's a major marketing problem.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But can you imagine the person that found that? I bet they must have been so pissed at humanity.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. And at first, she must have been like, what weird creature is that? Oh my God, am I discovering a new creature? And then you're looking and it's like a fucking bag.
Thank you for shopping.
With the smiley face.
Got a Target the bullseye.
Oh God. No. I mean, that's just, anyway. If you could find it in 36,000 feet
That would
below,
be the moment that I give up on humanity.
Yeah, 100%. I'd probably just open the pot and be like, I'm dead.
Yeah, I'm done. Kill me now.
I'm done. Yeah, I'm done with this earth. Anyway, so if you could find it at 36,000 feet below the sea level, what makes you think that it's not inside our bodies, right?
Yeah.
So it's become a focal point, and obviously this has led on to like, what are the potential health risks that this is actually going to be causing us or is already causing us? We don't know.
Yeah. So yeah, we kind of do know. We're starting to find out.
Exactly. We're starting to find out. But like what lengths we're going to talk about it.
Yeah. So I think the first question is, okay, well, how does that even happen?
Yeah.
Right. So what is the cause of this contamination?
Yeah. Because outrightly, you're like, you're not eating plastic pieces willingly. So how is this even entering our bodies?
Yeah. Which I'm sure people have an idea. You know, those people that microwave with plastic. AKA
they probably don't. They probably don't, because we've mentioned it in different episodes that how many times us growing up did we find Tupperware
melted with a hole in it?
Yeah. Or like scraped, with the color of the spaghetti on it.
Yeah.
And it won't be dumped by our parents until there's an actual hole in it.
Yeah, exactly.
I eat plastic my whole childhood for
sure. Same. All right. So let's talk about the causes of it. Is that plastic degradation.
Exactly.
Okay. This is basically the breakdown of larger plastic items, and through weathering, UV radiation, and mechanical forces, it results in this microplastic particle. Then number two is going to be manufactured microplastics. So these are not the ones that are coming from degradation, but the ones that are actually manufactured already to be microplastics. This is intentionally created microplastics such as microbeads, and they're used in things like cosmetics, toothpaste, and usage. That's like crazy to me. Toothpaste.
You're actively choosing to ingest it at that
point. I'm going to have to look at these things. It's like the more that we read on this,
that's a thing.
The more I think about it.
Yeah.
Insane.
Yeah.
All right. Then you also have synthetic textiles. Washing clothes made of polyester, nylon, acrylic releases microfibers into the water system, contributing significantly to the microplastic pollution. And I know that now there's a huge trend even in textiles to be more
like organic,
biodegradable, and just green, like that green trend.
Exactly.
Which is great. Mm-hmm. Look at this.
Absolutely.
More of a motivation to go into that field.
Right.
Now, industrial emissions can also be a big one. And I think every time I think of industrial emissions, I just think of that cloud over LA.
Yep.
When you're flying in to LAX, you just see this. It's just a cloud, like this layer.
Well, it's like when COVID hit that there were so many there were countries.
Yeah.
That they could actually see out their window, like through their buildings. And it was going viral because people were like, oh my God, it's like the cleanest air we've had in I don't know how long. And it was because nobody could leave their homes. Everybody was stuck in their homes. And then the air actually cleared up.
It's insane. Yeah. So factories and manufacturing plants release microplastics into the air and water during production processes. Yeah. And then agricultural practices as well can also lead to this by plastic mulching films used in farming, degrading in soil. I don't even know what that even means. Like, what?
Yeah.
Farming? I don't.
That's the thing. It's integrated in
like
everything.
Like mulch?
Yeah, there's like, right. Haven't you been to like parks and stuff like that?
I know, they have rubber mulch and things like that. But
stuff
like
that.
But agricultural, like where you're growing food?
I'm not a farmer, but I mean, if we have pesticides, we have plastic.
Yeah, like just reading this, is crazy to me.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
So then, anyways, this is basically adding microplastics to agricultural lands. And then fertilizers derived from treated sewage sludge also contributes to soil contamination. I want to throw up right now. Just reading.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's great. It's yeah. Great. That's why
we're doomed. We're doomed.
Pretty much. Anyway, so what are the types of plastic? Because there isn't just one. Okay. And I'm sure you guys have heard or even seen, like, when you buy things, it's like BPA free, all that stuff. So let's talk about what the hell does that even mean?
Yeah.
So they're categorized based on their chemical composition and properties, right? So here's a little bit of an overview of just the common ones, because there's like a plethora of them. So these are like the common ones that you're probably having in your kitchen, right here, anywhere, like we're surrounded by it. So first one is polyethylene terephthalate, PET or PETE. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Yeah, this is bringing back memories, because I had to, like, when I did this research, I had to, like, look for things like household things and whatever, and then categorize them. And a lot of them, if you're interested and if you're curious, like, get a milk gallon, and the milk gallon it's gonna have in the bottom, and it's gonna say one of these. I think milk gallons were HDPE. Don't quote me, this was years ago, but you had to, like, and then a lot of these things that are made of plastic, especially in food, they have to say what type of plastic it is or whatever. So yeah, anyway, this one in particular is commonly used in beverage bottles, food packaging, and synthetic fibers. Its toxicity is generally considered safe for single use. So this is like the solo cups and whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which our parents did not believe in either, because Lord knows my parents kept those solo cups. They would wash them in the dishwasher at high heat. Okay.
I get it. However, repeated use and exposure to heat can lead to leaching of antimony or a potential carcinogen.
Awesome. I am that floating bag at the depth of the earth. I am that floating bag. I just think about myself, and I'm that tumbling.
It was all of us. We came from immigrant parents trying to save a buck, you know, trying to, like, make things last. So they're like,
when I picture the doom of humanity,
yeah.
I picture that little plastic bag.
It'll still be there.
It'll still be there. Exactly.
For sure. That's for sure. Anyway, yeah, I was right. There we go. High density polyethylene, so HDPE. So the use is milk jugs, like I had said, detergent bottles, and piping. So it's like that thicker, less like transparent type of plastic looking thing. So toxicity. So it's regarded as one of the safer plastics, minimal risk of chemical leaching. And then you have polyvinyl chloride, PVC. Obviously, this is found in pipes, vinyl flooring, and shower curtains. So this is more of that hardy one. It contains harmful additives like phthalates and heavy metals, which is great, because most of our water, you know, for everything comes through PVC.
PVC, yep.
Yeah, that's great. So PVC is associated with significant health risks due to its chemical composition and release of toxic substances during its life cycle. Wonderful. And here in Miami, that it's mostly hot like death.
Yeah.
So it's just being heated, and then we bathe in it and do everything with it.
Floating bag.
Exactly.
I am a floating bag.
Exactly. Mind you, we had to get rid of, like, cast iron and all that, because apparently it was bad and it bursts and stuff like that.
Well, but yeah, then it was bad because it wouldn't have functioning plumbing.
But then we switched over to PVC.
That's exactly what I did.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So did I.
Great.
Well, all of us with modern day plumbing.
But, you know, like, at the end of the day, like, okay, like, that's like, I wish we had a system where we can separate our water from our plumbing.
We used to have copper. I know we used to have copper because we had, like, in my bath, my 1940s home, it used to have copper.
Yeah. But that was also bad, too. Because if it's like degradation.
Of course.
I think what we're going to have to do is just, like, switch over to,
which, you know, is why, like, we went to PVC, because PVC lasts forever.
Yeah. Which I think is why people are really into, like, the water filters.
Oh, 100%.
Things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway. All right.
The water filters are also made out of plastic. Anyways. Got it.
We're plastic bags, dude.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway. So low density polyethylene, LDPE, what we are made of. Uses plastic bags, cling wraps, and squeezable bottles. So these are the more malleable type, the thinner type. They're considered relatively safe, low risk of leaching harmful chemicals. There you go. Not like PVC, unfortunately. Then we got polypropylene, so PP. And these are the food containers that we ate all of our red sauce spaghetti from. Mm-hmm. He's having an existential crisis right now.
I am. I really am. I'm just thinking about all the plastic. As you're reading this, I'm thinking about all the plastic.
Everywhere, dude.
Yeah. And this is how I get every single time that we read a microplastic thing.
I know.
I go home and I'm like,
oh my God. Yeah. Anyway.
Don't get me wrong. I don't think all plastic is bad, but when it does come
to... No, it's clearly not, but...
Yeah, when it does come to us and ingesting it, that is the problem. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So its toxicity, these food containers, PP, generally considered safe. No potential for chemical leaching unless you wait for the hole to be burrowed through for overuse. Anyway, next is polystyrene, so PS. And those are the disposable cups, food containers, and insulation materials. So it's like the, oh my God, what are they called? The white cups.
Oh, styrofoam cups.
That.
Yeah.
Is that? Okay. What's that? Yeah. I am a weirdo. So I was probably that weirdo. But anybody else that did this ridiculous thing, let me know. Did you used to like grab it and bite on it?
No.
Styrofoam cups?
No.
Yeah. I'm made of plastic, dude. I would actively like...
Just, like eat it?
No. Like chew on it.
Oh, no, no, no. I never
I would never swallow it, but I would chew on it.
Yeah, but you chew on it. No, no, I never did that.
Yeah. Awesome. Anyway, so toxicity can leach styrene. That's great. A possible human carcinogen, especially when heated, associated with health risks upon prolonged exposure. And lastly, just other ones that I'm going to briefly mention, which are like polycarbonate and polylactic acid. There we go. Yes. Includes a variety of plastics used in applications like baby bottles, fucking great, electronic casings, and medical devices. All right, so some like polycarbonate can release BPA, and that's an endocrine disruptor linked to various health issues, which is the one that you see in almost everything these days as like BPA free.
Yeah,
that's why.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's talk about the most toxic plastics.
Yeah, out of these that we mentioned.
Yeah, so out of all of those, there's a lot of plastics that we just mentioned, okay? But out of all of those, let's talk about PVC, which tends to be the one that is often considered the most hazardous, and I think the one that actually people know the most.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah, so the reason why it's so harmful, it's because the content of harmful additives and the release of the toxic substances throughout its life cycle. Additionally, plastics containing BPA, such as polycarbonates, pretty much pose a significant health risk due to their endocrine disrupting properties. It's really important to know that the toxicity of plastics can be influenced by factors such as exposure to heat, duration of use, and also the presence of other additives, which is really hard to keep track of if you really think about it.
Yeah, like how?
I know. I'm not, you know, I read a list of things and how am I supposed to know what's good, what's not? It's really hard.
Yeah, of course.
So being informed about the type of plastics and their associated risk can really help making safer choices and for health and environmental reasons.
Yeah.
So basically, like, point of that is what? Stay away from PVC and BPA as much as you can.
But then again, everything, like, at least into the house comes in through PVC piping.
Yeah.
I mean.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. All right. So how does it enter into the body? Obviously, I think the most common one that we think about is ingestion. Mm-hmm. It's basically contaminated food and water that are major sources. Studies have found microplastics in seafood, table salt, bottled water, and even beer. Inhalation. We have an episode about this.
Yes.
So inhalation, airborne microplastics from synthetic fibers, vehicle tires, and industrial emissions can also be inhaled and deposited into the lungs. And then dermal contact, while less studied, there's actually potential for microplastics to be absorbed through the skin, especially from cosmetic and personal care products containing microplastics. I don't understand why like this is less studied. I feel like it should be even more studied.
Well, there was actually just an article that came out. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, I can't believe I didn't include it here. Anyway, but check it out. I'm sure that everybody that has social media did see it, that our watches have like particular type of plastic. I'm not sure which one it is because I didn't read into the article, hence why it's not there. But apparently smartwatches, that's a big one for going through the skin because we're wearing it the whole time. Mm-hmm. We're sweating with it. We're doing everything with them. And apparently there's like some studying or something like that about us getting it through those watches.
Interesting.
And I live with my Apple Watch. Right now I don't have it on by a miracle, but it's always on me.
Today. I'm starting to wear my Apple Watch again.
All right, so what are the health problems that are linked already to microplastics? First one, inflammation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So research indicates that microplastics can cause chronic inflammation, which is a really bad one, obviously, because if you have inflammation, like just acute inflammation, like you cut yourself, you hurt yourself, you fell, whatever, that's normal. Yeah. But it's when it becomes chronic that that's the problem.
Which leads to more aging. Check out our episode.
Exactly.
On longevity and preventative medicine.
100%. Anyway, so research indicates that microplastics can cause chronic inflammation, particularly in the gut lining, due to their physical properties and chemical additives. Next up, you have hormonal disruption, like that BPA that we were talking about. Many microplastics contain endocrine-disrupting chemicals, short EDCs, like BPA and phthalates, which interfere with hormonal balance and are linked to reproductive issues and metabolic disorders. There was actually like a big trend happening last year and the year before that about like hair products, like shampoos and all that stuff that had phthalates.
Yeah.
And to stay away from it. That's where phthalates comes into mind for me. Next up, you have oxidative stress. Studies on animals and cell cultures have shown that microplastics can cause oxidative stress, damaging cells, DNA, and proteins, potentially leading to chronic illnesses down the line. And then the big one, cancer risk, right? Some chemical additives in plastics are known as carcinogens, and prolonged exposure to microplastics can increase your cancer risk. And you also have immune system dysfunction. So microplastics have been shown to suppress immune responses, making the body more vulnerable to infection and diseases. And then you have respiratory issues, because she just mentioned inhaling microplastics, right? Which can accumulate in the lungs, causing irritation, inflammation, and potentially respiratory conditions.
Yeah.
Which is nuts. And then lastly, one of the big ones that I've been seeing in the news and new articles about it is neurotoxicity. All right. Emerging research suggests that microplastics may cross the blood-brain barrier, potentially affecting cognitive function and increasing the risk of neurological disorders.
I have to do my research, but I'm wondering if they're doing any postmortem studies on like brains and measuring.
Probably.
I'm sure there are.
Probably. I mean, that would be the most efficient way of like really signaling it out. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Like seeing that it's there.
That's a lot of tough information.
But do you know what it is to cross the blood-brain barrier?
No, I know. But it's definitely possible.
Yeah, for sure.
There's so many things that cross the blood-brain barrier. Oof. And if things are so micro-sized and it can be carried in our bloodstream, then it could totally happen. Yeah.
All right.
All right, so prevalence of microplastic in humans. So microplastics have been detected in a couple of things. This is a good segue into that.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the blood, right? A groundbreaking study in 2022 revealed microplastics in 77% of tested human blood samples, including polystyrene, the one that you chewed on.
Yeah. So that was probably my blood sample.
What do you chewed on? And polyethylene terephthalate, so PET.
Yeah.
This one is so sad to me, and I cannot help but think if there's a link to behavioral problems in children because of plastics.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
In the placenta, detected in placentas of pregnant women, raises concerns about prenatal exposures, potential developmental effects on fetuses, and what about behavioral problems in children after?
Because then you could see like all these more detected behavioral problems and all that. Yes. And then when was plastic more introduced into our daily lives?
I think this should totally be studied and do a retrospective study.
It's almost like chronologically perfectly aligned.
Exactly. And just, I think this is something that could receive a lot of popularity.
Yeah.
And I think there would be many more than willing patients to discuss their prenatal lifestyle practices and see if in the end of the outcome, if we can find a linking or a common denominator.
I know. I agree.
All right. In feces as well, which Joseph kind of already mentioned before, but microplastics have been found in stool samples worldwide, including those in babies and infants who are exposed to microplastics from baby bottles and toys, which is why a lot of people actually prefer glass bottles instead.
Yes, yes. Or silicone bottles.
Or silicone bottles, exactly. Yeah. Also breast milk. So recent studies have identified microplastics in breast milk, raising alarm about early life exposure. It's insane. It's really found. And we covered an article in one of our recaps that it's been found in urine. So,
it's... Oh, we're going to get more into that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. So how do we avoid these microplastics? We can reduce plastic use, which I think is like, all right, well, let's stop using them.
Step one. Yeah.
It's actually a lot harder. Ever since we started covering microplastics, if you've been, with us for a while, you've known that I've been on my journey of decreasing plastics. And it is so freaking hard.
Because it's more... until you notice it and you start actively trying to reduce it, you don't notice how prevalent it is in your house.
Even my Tupperware that I changed to glass, the top is still plastic.
Yeah.
I don't, now in the microwave, what I do is that I don't heat it.
Exactly.
With the plastic on top. But still, it's so hard.
I know.
But anyways, so reduce the plastic, use alternatives like glass, metal, biodegradable materials whenever possible. I think that's really hard too, using metals, because a lot of people unfortunately pack their stuff. Like the reason why you do Tupperware is to pack it and take it somewhere like to work.
Yeah.
So you cannot put metal in a microwave.
Right? Exactly. And then glass, you don't use glass because you don't want it to break easily.
Break, exactly. You know, all that stuff. I think glass is the way to go. But but glass is also more expensive.
Too. Yes, yeah. True.
So it's like you kind of have to like outweigh, and I think the benefits definitely outweigh the risks here.
Yeah. And glass will last you longer too. Unless it breaks. But okay. I mean, but it will last you longer than a plastic freaking Tupperware.
Yeah.
It's just gross. I don't know. To me, it's gross now.
It is gross. I'm telling you, every single time that we do an episode on this, it's like I go down to like a spiral, like an unhealthy spiral. A healthy but unhealthy spiral of like anxiety, and just go into like the kitchen. I'm just like throwing away everything. All right. Anyways, so filtering your water.
Yeah.
I think this is the one that I'm next going to focus on in my house. Invest in high quality water filters capable of removing microplastics, such as reverse osmosis systems, which we have talked about on our podcast before. Eating fresh. So avoid packaged and processed foods, which are more likely to be contaminated with microplastics. This is where I'm talking about the link to behavioral. And again, this is just my pediatric brain talking. Yeah. But this is where, and again, this can roll over to the adult world too. Mm-hmm. We're talking about plastics, microplastics potentially being a culprit in behavioral problems in children. And like this, one of the things that we recommend for kids to have behavioral problems, and not, I'm not just talking about maybe like the most common one, ADHD or autism, just anything, right? One of the recommendations is less sugar, less processed foods.
Exactly.
So what if we connected that? Less processed foods means less plastic, less microplastics. It's just like this like connection that I keep on making.
Yeah. Yeah. The first thing, the first culprit that comes into mind is, which is trash anyway, but like the Kraft singles.
Yeah.
They come wrapped in plastic.
Plastic, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, which there was actually like a study that came out of like how much plastic it's actually in each of those slices.
Yeah.
You know, from after you wrapping it up.
Exactly.
So it's just like, if your food's in plastic, like then I think again, the salad, like salad bags, there's so many things in your food that come from packaged in plastic. So
exactly. And don't get me wrong, like I'm not trying to sit here and be like, oh my God, no, I don't have plastic or anything like that. Listen,
I mean,
I'm the first person that I will.
I mean, you have to.
Yeah.
Like, it's everywhere.
Exactly. It's everywhere, you know? And been there, done that. Yeah. You see Lunchables all the time. So I mean, talk about plastic and processed foods into one.
Exactly.
Yeah. So
I would still eat. I think I ate Lunchables like a couple of months ago.
Yeah. No.
Let's be honest.
Yeah. So that's the thing. We're not trying to sit here and be like, oh my God, you know.
No,
everyone, everyone is guilty here.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
But yeah, so eating fresh might actually be a good choice, or maybe this is just another reason to eat fresher foods.
Yes.
Avoiding synthetic fabrics. This is really hard. So opt for natural fibers like cotton, wool. Every time I think of wool, I think itchy. So I'm just like itching just thinking about
cotton,
but
just cotton.
Man. Yeah, exactly. Use microfiber filters in washing machines to trap the synthetic fibers. That's another way. And also just advocate for change.
Yeah.
Support legislation banning single-use plastics and promoting sustainable practices. And that's something that we really don't pay attention to, but using our voices to make these changes is really, really helpful.
Yes, absolutely. So the future of medicine and microplastics, right? Because we're like, our past is pretty much doomed, right?
Exactly.
So the more you think about it, the worse it is. So let's talk about the future. Let's get better detection methods, right? So scientists are developing advanced technologies to detect microplastics in biological tissues and fluids with greater precision. If you could detect that blood sample or whatever, you could be like, well, it's a little high now. Kind of like a cholesterol screening.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kind of integrated like that. Next, you have therapeutic solutions. So research is underway to explore more treatments, such as using antioxidants. There I go again, like Mediterranean. Antioxidants to combat the oxidative stress caused by microplastics. Then you have regulation. Increasing awareness is prompting governments to implement stricter regulations on plastic production and usage. For example, the European Union is working to ban intentionally added microplastics in cosmetics and other products. That's a great first step. Then last...
Especially since it's something that we put on our face, and we just talked about the fact that there's not a lot of research into the like transdermal.
Exactly.
So basically going through the skin.
Exactly. And yeah. That's perfect.
Literally what you do yeah. with makeup, you put it on the skin.
Right. And then lastly, you have nanoplastics research. So the effects of even smaller particles known as nanoplastics are being studied to understand their potential to penetrate deeper into human tissues.
Yeah.
And now let's talk about a little bit about the latest news of microplastics, because I've kept on mentioning it and there's so many. I just like got a few clips that you probably have heard of because yeah. they were pretty mainstream.
Go ahead. So according to an article published in The Guardian on June 2024, so this is basically a recent study conducted in Jinan, I hope I'm saying that right,
yeah.
Jinan, China, which basically analyzed the semen samples of 40 healthy men undergoing premarital health assessments and found microplastics in every single sample. Okay, so they detected microplastics, including common types such as polyethylene, polyethylene terephthalate, which is the one that we said that was found in blood samples yep. and everything. The study's authors emphasized the need for further research to understand the potential implications of microplastics contamination on human reproductive health. And then a recent mouse study also published in Nature on January 2025 has revealed that microplastics can obstruct blood flow in the brain. Not good.
Yeah.
Leading to potential neurological damage.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Like, hello, hi, we need blood flow to healthy,
it's just
to work,
bad.
To work, to literally work.
It's all bad.
So the research demonstrated that tiny plastic particles can actually accumulate in the brain tissue, causing obstructions, so little blockages that may impair cognitive function. Not good. Any of you've heard our dementia talks and yeah. our Alzheimer talks, a lot of the reasons why we have these cognitive declines is because of these groups of clumps of different things, the tau proteins and all these things.
Yeah.
This is kind of like that.
Yeah.
Except of plastic. Terrible.
It's all bad. It's really all bad. Yeah. And then another one, a comprehensive review by researchers at the University of California, San Francisco, analyzed approximately 3,000 studies and found that airborne microplastics may contribute to serious health issues, including lung and colon cancers, which our age group is seeing an incredible amount
yeah.
of it right now, which is very odd. And people are kind of wondering, where the hell is that coming from?
Yeah.
As well as male and female infertility.
Awesome.
Great. These tiny particles originating from sources like degrading garbage and tire wear become airborne and then can be inhaled, leading to chronic pulmonary inflammation and other health problems, obviously. The more you think about it, the worse it gets in your head. And then also there was a study published in the New England Journal of Medicine found microplastics and nanoplastics in carotid artery plaques.
Awesome.
So in arteriosclerosis, suggesting a potential link between these particles and cardiovascular disease. The research indicates that microplastics may contribute to the development of
arthrosclerosis.
I literally had just said it.
Arthrosclerosis is another way to say it.
There you go. A condition characterized by the buildup of plaques in the arteries, which can lead to heart attacks and stroke.
Yeah. And you don't want to have a heart attack and you don't want to have a stroke. Bottom line,
it's clogging our arteries.
Yeah, this is another one that I just hate, but I can totally see this.
Yeah,
it's the seafood contamination.
It's in the ocean. It's in the Mariana Trench.
Yeah, exactly. There it is. There it is.
There's a bag.
Plastic bag. There's a killer. A 2023 study found that microplastic levels in seafood like shrimp and mussels are higher than previously estimated, posing risks to consumers.
Yeah.
Then you have urban air pollution. Newer research shows that cities have alarmingly high levels of airborne microplastics with potential links to respiratory disease. Check out our episode on toxic inhalants. Policy developments. This is kind of where we say advocacy plays a huge role.
Yeah.
The European Union recently proposed a ban on microbeads in personal care products and stricter regulations on industrial emissions of microplastics. So hello, United States. Let's get on that bandwagon.
Yeah, please.
And then microplastics in rainfall.
Yeah,
okay, guys.
It's in the air. It's going to get absorbed
Like, really think about that. Rain, which is the most, one of the most pure natural things that can happen in our ecosystems. Just rain.
Not anymore.
Studies in remote regions, including the Arctic, have found microplastics in rainfall, demonstrating their global spread. Hello, hi, how are you? Open your eyes, everyone. It is a real thing. And it's like the sooner you accept it, the sooner you'll be able to do something about it. The sooner we get the ball rolling on policies and things like that to honestly just make the world a safer place. I don't know how else to put that.
We're getting closer and closer to the movie WALL-E.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, WALL-E. I love him.
I know. I love him too. Yeah. So a couple of interesting facts because, let's just add some more to there. So plastic and salt. Yes. So table salt from various countries have been found to contain microplastics, with sea salt being the most contaminated.
Sea salt.
Yeah. Which is supposedly, it was a good one.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, so human consumption, it's estimated that...
But again, it's like, what is it coming packaged in?
That and the source.
But then the source, it's like, where is the source? I mean, if we're talking about that rainfall has plastics, but again, some sort of improvement is good.
Exactly. Yeah. You have to start somewhere.
Yeah.
It's estimated that the average person ingests about 5 grams of plastic weekly. Equivalent to a credit card.
That's right.
So you're eating every week. You probably ate a credit card worth of plastic.
So disgusting.
It's horrible.
All right. Final thoughts on microplastics.
We're all plastic.
Yeah. I'm...
We're plastic.
I have no words.
No. I don't either.
Every single time, it does not fail. If you listen to us and you've been following with us, my anxiety every single time that we talk about microplastics.
But this one gets you.
But this one.
Yeah. Like microplastics is the one
that gets you. And I wanted to do this episode
you.
So bad.
I know.
I'm going to be for real. I don't know a lot of things. And I'm so thankful for our podcast because there's so many things that I really truly just didn't know until we started doing deep dives into it.
Yep.
And microplastics, you knew about it because you did research in it.
I actively studied.
But I did not. No. I truly did not. I knew.
But that was back then when we didn't even... We were studying plastics as like vectors for diseases and stuff like that. It wasn't even like much about, and how it degraded, but it wasn't about micro or nanoplastics per se. It was more about like what would happen to the plastic.
Exactly.
And if it could be used as a carrier from let's say one country is suffering from some sort of illness, but a contractible one.
Yeah.
Is it a vector to pass it around?
Yeah.
Which it was. It did hold organisms in it. I had to count them. Yeah. So it does do that too.
Yeah.
It's just insane. But then from there, I guess you start realizing how much it starts degrading.
And
it's just...
Exactly. So this is such a good episode. I wanted to bring a lot of awareness to that. And you have to start somewhere.
Yeah.
I know at this episode, you're probably like, well, why should I even do anything? If it's in rainfall,
I know, but still.
You have to start somewhere. And any kind of improvement is an improvement.
Exactly. Exactly.
You don't know what these little improvements can do down the line.
Get rid of Teflon.
Yeah.
Get rid of plastic bottles,
styrofoam,
and don't just do it outright. Just little by little. One breaks. The next one shouldn't be plastic.
And then, little by little.
Yeah.
It took me like a year to get rid of all my Tupperware.
Yeah. I mean, you can't and just
still,
do it outright.
And still, I somehow something ends up in my house. I open the Tupperware drawer and I'm like, how did this plastic get?
Of course. And same thing with me. You know, Ziploc bags, that's another one. Try to get the silicone reusable ones. Although I get it. Ziploc bags are so fucking convenient.
I know.
They really, really are, especially when you have kids.
Yeah, I know.
But anyway, so that was our episode today on microplastics. Thank you guys for listening and tuning in.
Yeah.
If you guys have any suggestions on any further episodes, let us know. Thank you guys for following us on all these different social media platforms. Follow us there on Threads, Instagram, X, Facebook, TikTok, everywhere. Now that TikTok's back, I don't know how long it's going to be back for.
But hopefully it'll stay for a little while.
Yeah, definitely. Hopefully this time, because the world got... very concerned.
Everyone got really concerned.
Oh my god, everybody. That one day that it was out, it wasn't even 24 hours.
I know.
everybody freaked out hard.
I know. I was okay. Yeah. It was definitely a change because I'm usually like,
yeah, you're more
scrolling. I'm into the scrolling. I don't post a lot. I do scroll, even though I'm trying to post more this year. But yeah, I love TikTok though.
I know that's what I was going to say.
I told you that I didn't.
You like TikTok more. I'm more on Instagram.
No, so yeah, I'm more on TikTok than I am on Instagram.
Exactly. So I get it. And people freaked out for it. Everybody on like Threads and X and all the other ones. Everybody,
yeah.
It's interesting times. But anyway, see you guys on all of those that are actively available.
Yeah.
And we'll see you on the next one.
Bye.
Bye. Like, comment, review us on all streaming platforms, Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, etc.
Check us out on Instagram and TikTok at Funny Medicine Podcast. Our Gmail is funnymedicine305@gmail.com. And remember, we are not diagnosing you.
Definitely not. Just funny stuff.
See you later, guys.